This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Well, there's always a lot going on in Canberra, and fortunately we have some experts here to keep us in the loop about exactly what is happening. Amy Romikas covers politics for The Guardian, and she's been up in Canberra observing the ship of state as it struggles to stay afloat. Amy, thank you for joining us here on The Informer.
My pleasure.
This is Toby, by the way. Amy, Pauline Hanson is apparently going to lead a review into the family court system. What's going on?
Well, politics is exactly what's going on.
Yeah, usually I'd give more context. It's just such a strange sentence. Like, it really is.
It really is, especially since it's a government-led inquiry. Mm-hmm. It's not something that the Senate crossbench has put together or that, you know, a private member has put forward. The government literally decided it was going to hold this inquiry into the family court, and then it decided that it would give Pauline Hanson the legitimacy of appointing her as deputy chair to this inquiry, which has upset quite a lot of people, from women's legal groups to anyone who's had anything to do with the family court, to just people who know her particular views on the family court and are questioning why the government would take this step.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And just, I suspect some of our audience may not be aware of Pauline's views on the family court system. She's basically of the view that it, is it fair to say, discriminates against men in the main? Like, she has this week, I think, made remarks regarding the victims of domestic violence lying, which led to a furious backlash around the country. But I think it's fair to characterise her views as being the system needs to be reformed in favour of men. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I mean, like, if I was to give, like, the polite political answer, I would say that she's sceptical of the family court. But the truth is that she does believe it is biased towards mothers in the court, that men don't get a fair hearing. That she has said that she believes that a lot of women make up domestic violence claims in order to win custody of their children, and that this is leading to a lot of men suiciding. And when faced with the statistics that one woman a week is murdered by her current or former partner on average, she responded with, well, three men a week are suiciding. When are we going to talk about that? And I don't think anyone is arguing that the family court has procedural issues, and that sometimes there are cases where people are not always honest about what has happened. It is an emotionally fraught situation. And I also don't think anyone is arguing that men are not victims of family and domestic violence, and that they do not suffer during the family breakdown. I don't think that is in question at all. But to have somebody blatantly say, I think that this is happening quite frequently, I think that women are lying, and this is why we need to do it. On top of the fact that she has all of these sort of ideas about what needs to happen in reform, which would be 50-50 custody from the moment of separation, pretty much automatically, that assets would be split 35% each, with the remainder to be decided during mediation, to kind of remove the independent court process from it altogether, has people quite worried, because she will now be cross-examining people who are giving evidence to this committee about what they think are some of the problems with the family court, as well as giving voice to what I guess most people would know as men's rights activists, who have some really, really outrageous views of what they think is wrong with the family court system. And it's all kind of a mess.
Absolutely. What is driving the government's, like, the decision to actually hold the review in the first place? I know, as you say, there are a range of criticisms of the family court that are made by a whole variety of people, but one of the biggest criticisms that I think is consistently made is that there's just not enough money within the system to actually, you know, keep things going, which causes delay and a whole variety of other problems. But what's brought this on, like, in terms of the government, and why they're bringing this review forward?
But no one can actually properly answer that beyond the fact that it's just politics. I mean, the Australian Law Reform Commission put in quite a detailed report to the government in April, which had 60 recommendations to reform the family court system. And it addressed a lot of the issues that people had raised in terms of the length of time it takes for cases to be heard, about how orders are handed down, about how they work across states, because, of course, each state has a different jurisdiction and has different rules about what is constituted in the family court. So the Australian Law Reform Commission has put forward their ideas of how to fix that. The government has not responded to that report. It's sort of just sat there since April. We also had another review quite recently, which led to a lot of changes, including that women can no longer be cross-examined by the alleged perpetrator of the abuse, that, you know, if they want to give evidence, they can do so from a separate room, all sorts of things to kind of change it. And they have only recently been introduced, those changes. So nobody knows why, when we have a bunch of recommendations sitting there and a bunch of changes that are slowly being put into place, we're having yet another review into the family court that has not had the consultation of any experts, I would say. It appears to be emotion, it appears to be politics, and it appears to be causing a lot of pain.
I guess we'll have to wait with bated breath for a review into why this review is happening. We'll have to keep an eye on that one. You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Nicholas Hines with Toby Halligan. We're joined by The Guardian's political reporter, Amy Romikas. Amy, the Bilawila family, the Tamil asylum seekers, have been waiting with bated breath. Still no idea whether or not they're going to be able to stay in the country, but there has been some news out of the federal court today.
Yes, they've got another stay of execution, I suppose, if you want to be a little crass about it, and that the federal court is going to allow a full trial on this, like a full hearing on it, which means that they will remain in detention while the legal fight continues.
Do we have an idea of the timeline around this? How long is it going to take?
Well, how long is a piece of string? I mean, it is a court system. They have other cases, you know, which are scheduled to be held. So it could be anywhere up to 3 to 4 months while this plays out. I mean, technically they remain in Australia, but in actuality, they remain on Christmas Island while this plays out.
So are advocates still calling for public campaigning and support, or now that it's going to the courts, is it like out of the public's hands?
Well, it's been out of the public's hands from the moment that that the department decided that they could no longer stay and they were taken from their homes in Bilawila. So, I mean, advocates want people to keep up the pressure on their local MPs. They want to keep the case in the news as much as possible. They want to remind people that this family exists and that this is happening. The problem with that, though, is with that attention, it sort of means that the government has reached a point where they are not going to let this family stay unless the court so orders that this is to happen. Because if they were to change their mind now, it would look like a capitulation to pressure, and therefore it puts out a roadmap of how to get... There's so many cases that are similar to this, and so the government is kind of looking at it, well, if we bend now, people are going to expect us to bend on every case. So this really is in the federal court's hands.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation. Tomorrow, Amy, there will be climate strikes around the country. How excited are our parliamentarians at this obvious display of engaged young people who are passionate about the issues and are willing to take action? Are they enthusiastic? Are the parliamentarians, woo, yeah, go the youth? Are they pumped up?
I think it really depends on which side of politics that you sit on about how excited that you are. I mean, someone like Craig Kelly, for instance, who is a very conservative backbencher of the coalition government, not so excited. He gave a very short speech in Parliament today where he told the youth that they were being lied to, that climate change wasn't real, that there was no evidence linking climate change to drought, that we didn't need to worry about, like, you know...
Well, they are being lied to by someone, aren't they? I guess they are right. Well, they are being lied to by someone. Craig Kelly.
I think it's pretty easy to Google and find out who's telling the truth on this and who isn't. But no, the conservative side of politics is not happy. They want everyone to stay at school. If you're going part of the not usual business strike, they want you to stay at work. Then you have the Greens, who are leading people out of the office, leading school groups, you know, on this climate strike, who are very excited. You have the independent Zali Steggall, who its entire office is walking out to kind of join the protest. So, and then you have Labor, which is kind of sticking to a middle line, depending on which electorate that you're in. So, once again, politics reigns supreme.
Australian politics, hey? Thank you very, very much, Amy, for helping guide us through the mire that is Australian politics presently. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That was Amy Remikas, The Guardian's political reporter, joining us from Canberra with that fabulous update. This is The Informer.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.